Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well,
and every part of my body was in place.
Many people died and never saw this day.
So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face.
Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And we'll just get into the Word and see what God has for us today. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your Word, your Spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal the Father and bring us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow you, the peace of God, to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men. As you teach us how we should live in this present world, may we now awake unto righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to continue with the topic and the glory of the Lord. You know, I've come to understand that God has always included his glory as the answer for every challenge that would be in our life. Whatever we face, the glory of the Lord should be the answer for it. And that glory should be revealed in us. There is a deposit that he's already made. There is a crowning that he's already achieved. He crowned us with glory and honor. So then the ability to respond accurately is already on board. It is, if you would, part of our DNA. But sometimes we don't think from that position. We would like to see God do something because we asked. And I do understand the construct of ask and receive. I get that. But if I ask from a position of understanding, then my wait time has just been made shorter because I go into my wait time stronger. I just want you to kind of to see that. See, if I don't believe that I'm worthy, if I don't believe that I deserve, if I don't believe that God's going to come through, then my wait time is going to be a very, very hard thing to me for me to endure. But see, if I know what his plan is, according to Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, he says, these are the thoughts that I think towards you, and these are thoughts that I already know. See, he's not coming up with thoughts that have not already been delineated in his word. He said, I know my thoughts towards you. My thoughts are not evil, not the ones that's toward you. My thoughts towards you are peace. My thoughts towards you will bring you to an expected end. So now, when I have that as my understanding, when I have that as my bedrock, then my wait time is not a long time at all, is it? Because if I understand that as a bedrock, that his thoughts are to bring me to an expected end, then I can go ahead and believe him to work all things together for my good now. See, I can know that because he is with me, I will be able to have a different conversation. I will say, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. See, because the glory answers every situation. Please, I want you to just know some things. It wasn't my strength that answered the situation. In fact, it was not even my understanding that caused the situation to turn around. Doesn't it tell us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The word shall there is an absolute imperative. It didn't say, and he might direct your path. He'll think about directing your path. He said, if you will stop leaning to your own understanding, and while you are doing anything in all your ways, acknowledge him. Go back to the place where you settle your heart in. This step that I'm making is a step that is ordained. This is a step that is preordained, according to the scripture, that we should walk in it. And as I walk in the preordained steps, what will happen is then I will be walking towards good works. I'll be walking in the midst of the path where everything works for my good. Okay, come on. I'll be in the path. This is what he said. He said that I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm working the thing by the Spirit, and that is good in the eyesight of the Lord. I am walking by the Spirit in the place where good works. Good doesn't try, okay? So that you can see these things, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it is. I just want you to know that these are the things that God has said so that we will know this, function in this. Stop having concerns about it. Woo. I mean, I'm going to just read the one scripture. I might go back to this passage, but I'm going to read the one scripture in verse 10. Okay? It says, "For we are his workmanship, which was created in Christ Jesus. And it was created unto good works, which God hath past tense before ordained that we should walk in the good that works." Okay? I mean, this is a guaranteed result. If I do it the Bible way, I get Bible results. If I do it my way, okay, wow, Lord, I've seen that. If I do it my way, since my way has not been proved and perfected, I might not end up where I want to be because Jesus' works have already been finished. Amen. So he's the one that at Calvary said it is finished. His finish, glory to God, his finish was also my beginning. So then I walk in the work that he finished. If I'm going to walk in something that has not been established my way, then it has not given me the guarantee of where I'm going to end up. See, Jesus gave us, these are his workmanship. I am his workmanship. You might want to say that. I am his workmanship, which was created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath preordained beforehand that I should walk in it. So again, you can take that scripture right as it says it, believe it as it is written. I am a workmanship in Christ Jesus unto that which works good. Okay? I don't have to, this is not just about me doing goody good things. See, your salvation was a whole lot more than you having the ability to do goody good, I feel great things. Okay? It's bigger than that. God's plan, according to Jeremiah 29:11, he said, these thoughts that I think, they are going to give you an expected end. Okay, again, I just said it, but there's another way he just said it. I'm going to give you an expected end, or an end that is guaranteed, an end that is good, and it works for you. I mean, how many ways do you want to say it? See, if I start with that understanding, my wait time is not a problem. See, okay. I mean, I'm just trying to bring it home so that you can see it. Whatever city you happen to live in, if your city has a bus line, then they have a schedule that is posted on the bus line, because they know what time the bus is supposed to be there, and you can function under that expectation. Okay? That's exactly what God is doing. He says that if you would acknowledge him in all of your ways, he will then put you on that bus line. He will put you in the path that is expected to give you the biblical results. I mean, just track it out. Make it easy to understand. When you go on the bus line in your city and it tells you that this is the schedule that the bus will stop here, then the next thing you see is the expected time of arrival at the next stop. You can even go as far in that scenario to see what time it will end up at the end of the line. See, God is giving you the ability to look into, to glimpse into your future by his word. Y'all, please. His word gives you entrance into his thoughts. And then when he gives you entrance into his thoughts, you have to do something, because this is what our response is supposed to be. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Why should I think about this? Because he will keep him in perfect peace who allows the thoughts that Jesus has towards you to be what you think about. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, it's an option that we have to engage in. It doesn't do us much good to just hear a promise and then not be moved by the promise. Again, his thoughts are to bring you into this place of expectation the way he ordained it. Good works, that which works real good. Okay? So this is how you begin to process your life by the word of God, or you live that by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You take the promise and you apply the promise over and over and over again to the point where it becomes an automatic default of your thinking. That's the mind of Christ now activated in that particular area. There is no question. I've already looked at the schedule, and the bus is going to leave here and arrive there at this time. Guaranteed. Why? Because it's already been put in motion by the word of God. See, that's why I say you can try to do a thing, and it's not been put in motion by the word of God if it's the way you want to do it. But if you do what he said, it's already been put in motion. It's already been tried and tested. It's already been proved to work. Okay? In conjunction with these thoughts that I just gave you from those scriptures. All right? I mean, we're just looking at a couple of scriptures so that you can see. Ephesians 2:10. Okay? That's just so that you would know. Jeremiah 29:11. So that you can know and have assurance that what he has already said is what's going to happen in your life. See, you get to the place where, because he has said it, you know it is a guaranteed fact. You live by those words. So you allow the mind of Christ to become active in those areas of your life. You don't have contrary thoughts. You know, there really is no need for a woe is me thought in the life of a believer. Amen. his thoughts concerning me. All of his thoughts concerning me are thoughts of peace. When I activate those thoughts, then I am able to accomplish what he said I would accomplish. Okay? My job, my responsibility. Romans chapter 12. Okay? These are just scriptures that would help you to begin the process of over and over and over and over again, causing your mind to be renewed by that which he says and he says only. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I mean, if you're going to process things in your life, please, beloved, process them by or through the mercies of God. Don't process things in your life by what the media says. Process the things in your life by the mercies of God. Okay? He says, I beg you, would you please do this? By the mercies of God, that you present your body. So come on, God, let's just kind of dig into this. He says, I'm asking you because mercy has been set upon you. That same thing in Proverbs chapter 3 says that goodness and mercy is what God has used to get you into the place of victory. Okay? He said it in Psalms 23 also. He says in Psalms Proverbs 3, he said, do not let mercy and truth forsake. Do not let it forsake you. Don't give up on mercy and truth, because when you give up on mercy and truth, then they are going to leave. If you acknowledge him in all of your ways, mercy and truth is going to be the thing that causes his word to work in your life. Okay? Oh, boy. These are just staples that you got to have in your arsenal. You have to have these. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you operate and act, present your bodies. The things that you do, almost everything that you do is done in the body. The thoughts are in the heart and in the mind. But the actions are done because of the body lining up with the mind that could be corrupt or the mind that is renewed. It's your choice. Okay? So he says, I want you to line up your actions. Because mercy is involved. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Goodness and mercy is supposed to follow you all the days of your life. You're supposed to be in close contact with goodness and mercy. Mercy and truth. You're supposed to be in constant contact. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies because of those mercies. Okay. All right. See, I'm saying these things because sometimes we've been trained not to have expectation of the mercy of God. We've been trained that mercy is for my mistakes. No, not according to Scripture. He just told you to think because of the mercy. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would then think about those mercies, and it would cause you to act correctly. Present your body. You, according to this scripture, you can't even present your body if you did not activate the mercies. Okay, did you see that? I ask you, beg, implore of you, by the mercies of God. Whatever you do from this point forward, you will do it because of the mercies of God active in your heart and in your life. If you don't have mercies activated in your heart and in your life, then you will not be able to present your body. Okay, there it is. He says the presentation is because you understand and participate in the mercies. And the way you present your body is you're going to present it as a living sacrifice, not as a dead sacrifice. I'll just throw this in there. A dead sacrifice would be a sacrifice that has no hope of victory. See? If you have no hope of victory, that mercy and truth has already been forsaken. You put mercy and truth on vacation. And now you're going to accomplish the will of God by your own will power. And I'll just ask you a real question about you and your own will power. Did your own will power actually keep you from sinning? I would submit that it didn't. You didn't want to do it. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 6 and 7, particularly 7. When he says, the thing that I want to do, I don't do that. And the thing that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Why? Because I was trying to do it by my own will. And it didn't work, never has, never will work. One of the reasons why you can't get it done by your will is because you're going to take time to go to sleep. And at the time that you are asleep, your will is no longer engaged. Now you can have all kind of crazy nightmares and dreams that will give you an understanding that's unfruitful. And therefore, when you wake up, your will, which wasn't engaged for the last whatever those hours were, now you have no impetus to execute. But if you would allow God and his word to work 24 hours a day, because he that keeps Israel does not sleep, he does not slumber. He can speak to you, listen at it, he can speak to you in the night seasons. In fact, he will do it in the daytime because he said you'll have dreams and visions. And you can have a vision slap at 12 o'clock noon. And then because of that, if you have trained your spirit to operate according to what God says, then that vision and that a dream that he gives you will be the thing necessary for your future to become focused and executable. See? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A body that has hope that is alive, that has faith that is alive, because faith is the substance of the things hoped for. But if my whole situation and my understanding is dead, I don't know how to trust God, don't know if trusting God is going to work, then that would put you in a dead place, in a place where you have no hope. And Paul describes that place as a place of misery. I am among all men most miserable. Why? Because I have no hope. That would be a dead situation, wouldn't it? A living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. See, I'm not trying to guess anymore, bless the Lord God. I am able, because my mind is being renewed, I am able to prove something. I don't have to live in questions. When I don't have to live in questions, I no longer have to live in fear. I can live in certainty. I can live in guarantee now. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? His word will not return unto him void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it, and it will accomplish that which he pleases. See, I can live in guarantees. I don't have to live in question. I don't have to live in darkness. I don't have to live in fear. Because he will keep me in perfect peace, because my mind is stayed on him. That I will be able to prove what is the good. I'll be able to prove it. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And I have been called to walk in preordained works that are good. I'll be able to prove what is good. I no longer have to just be saying, I wish I can get some better. No, no, I can prove it. I beseech you, therefore, brother. He's talking to you, therefore. Those that have purposed to present your bodies, that everything you do is going to be presented because of the mercies of God that are alive in your life. Now you can prove what is good. You can prove what is acceptable. You can prove what is the perfect will of God. Beloved, I didn't come to your house and open your Bible and write that in your Bible. That's the word of God that he sent to you. He wants you to win. The glory of the Lord was given so that you would win every time, all the time. The glory of the Lord is never connected to fear. Amen. The glory of the Lord is, glory to God, that's good, sir. The glory of the Lord is always connected to your victory. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says it this way. I'm going to turn it around. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So then if I want to fall short of the glory of God, then I operate in a mind process that is doing without a portion. That's the first definition of sin, is to be without a portion. It was not actions. It was actions in your heart and in your mind that says, I don't think God can. And because I don't think God can, I am without a portion. And because I am without a portion, then naturally I will fall short. For all have fallen short of glory. They decided that it couldn't work for them. When God put the glory, crowned you with the glory, put it in your life so that you can win. Okay? I want to go to one more scripture to try to solidify this. Okay? Because the mercy of the Lord is always connected to your victory. The glory of the Lord is always connected to your victory. The love of the Lord is always connected to your victory. All of the fruit of the Spirit, inclusive, is connected to your victory. His peace, connected to your victory. Amen. His joy, connected to your victory. His long suffering, come on, y'all, is connected to your victory. He's not telling you to wait forever. He's telling you to be consistently, constantly the same. Patience is what that means. That's exactly how you define it. It is to be consistently, constantly the same. So because I'm consistently, constantly the same, I'm guaranteed that the victory that I started to pursue will be mine. Because I'm going to remain the same throughout the process. I'm not going to be up and down. I'm not going to turn my back and forsake mercy and truth. I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm going to be consistently, constantly the same. See, as we do those things, then beloved, it says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Not just a sure word, a more sure word of prophecy. Because we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We are the ones that are connected to the power and coming of the Lord. See? His glory is going to turn it around because his mercy is, okay, let's look at it this way. His mercy is on display. Amen. And those that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Saying this happens to everybody else, that would be observing a lying vanity. Just because it happened to everybody else does not have anything to do with you and your relationship with the God that made promise that he would never leave you nor forsake you. See, again, because he will not leave you or forsake you, he says, therefore, we will boldly say. See, it changes your conversation. See, when I understand the mercy that he called me into, that he made available to me, then I don't forsake that mercy. I don't observe lying vanity, lying emptiness. I don't observe that. Because whenever I observe a lying vanity other than the word of God, instead of having the truth that's established, that's settled, I decide to go with what they say. That's a lying vanity. Okay, all right. You have people that are listening to a report of people that don't know the end of the story. They're reporting on the facts. They're not reporting on truth. He never said, and you will know the facts, and the facts will make you free. He said, and you, the ones who are called by my name, the ones that I love and the ones that love me, and you will know the truth, and the truth that you know. He didn't even say the truth that you're guessing about. He said, the truth that you know. That's where your liberty comes from. See, I don't observe lying vanity. I find the mercy of God. Why would I want to find the mercy of God? Lamentations chapter 3. See, when I get these things, it's right behind Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the one that was lamenting. Lamentations chapter 3. In verse 21 and following, he says, this I recall to my mind, and because I recall this to my mind, I have hope. What is it that you recall to your mind? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The reason you're not destroyed is because of the Lord's mercies. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I need for you to think about this mercy. Over and over and over, I need for you to think about this mercy first, because it's the mercy of the Lord that keeps you from being destroyed. Well, that sounds good. What else can he put in here? He says, because his compassions fail not. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his mercies, his compassions. That's so good, sir. He put an S on the word compassions, didn't he? Yeah. The reason that's important is because no matter what you're going through, there is a tailor-made mercy for that situation. Whatever the devil was using to try to destroy you, he just said, there is a tailor-made mercy for that attack. It is of the Lord's mercies that you are not consumed, because his mercies, compassions, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. See, I mean, you just need to be of the mindset that I'm going to participate in the mercy that's brand new. Come on. He said his mercies are new every morning. This is not just talking about a chronological AM experience. Whenever you have a revelation That is a day dawning. That is a new mercy opportunity for you right then. In the middle of a COVID-19 pandemic, you can participate in a new mercy that was specifically ordained, tailor-made for a COVID-19 attack. If you are experiencing someone talking about you, he has a specific mercy that will engage and bring victory for you over that thing, because his mercy is new every morning. Every time you have a revelation, every time you have another or a fresh expectation, mercy has just been made new. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. There was a song that we sang. It says, his love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Why? Because it's brand new every time I have a revelation of that same love. Love never fails. See, he wants me to understand that. He wants me to operate in that. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you operate according to those mercies. Don't operate according to the hurt, the pain, the frustration that you experience looking for the mercy. Ooh, glory to God. So if I'm looking for the mercy, you do know what's going to come on, y'all. You do know what's going to show up. If I'm looking for the mercy, the only thing that can show up is his mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. This is what I recall to my mind, and therefore it gives me hope. I have to think about that so that I will not be of all men most miserable in this world without hope. This is what you think about. This is how you begin to turn the thing around. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on. I just said this is how you turn it around. That's why he put this in there in Jeremiah 29:11. I know my thoughts towards you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil. And these thoughts will give you an expected end. So you want to turn the thing around? Think his thoughts. It is of the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And it's a good thing for a man to do this while he is young. It's good for him to bear the burden while he's young, because then he doesn't have to unthink a thing. He doesn't have to unlearn a thing. He doesn't have to go and say, my experiences say this, and the word of God says this, and I think I'm going to believe my experiences. No, I've been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or in seed begging bread. Why? Because I have borne this in my youth. I know the faithfulness of God. His mercies are new every morning. He has great faithfulness. I don't care what problem I'm facing. God has great faithfulness to bring me out of it. Not just a little faithfulness. He's displaying great faithfulness to bring me out of this thing. See, the glory of the Lord is going to address everything that faces your life. He's always wanted the glory to resolve that. That's why I said his mercy is on display. See, he knows those that are trusting in him. It is good for me to both hope and wait on the Lord. It's good for that to happen. Okay, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, verse 26. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Whew. Says, I'm a power 24 again. I mean, just this is one of the scriptures, I promise you, you should just have highlighted, colored all over the place, underlined everywhere. These are the promises that cause you to be able to address situations and circumstances, I don't care what they are. As a matter of fact, I will say it this way. When you have this position of heart, your situations and circumstances just got an eviction notice. Amen. Amen. They got to go. Because this is what I think about. This is what I recall to my mind, and it gives me hope. So if this gives me hope, that tells me that got to go. Because I cannot have this and that in the same place. My problem has to go because this hope that is active, that is alive, is now keeping me from being, it keeps me from being destroyed or consumed and gives me something. Watch 24. Come on, I hope y'all seeing this. It gives me hope, and then it becomes my future. Verse 24 says, the Lord is my portion. That's my future, isn't it? That's the thing that I need, my portion. Didn't Jesus tell us that we're supposed to pray, give us this day our portion, our daily bread? Well, when I have an understanding of the mercy of God and my hope is engaged, now the Lord becomes my daily bread. He becomes my portion. He becomes more than enough. He becomes El Shaddai unto me. He's my portion. As my portion, he shows up as more than enough. Glory to God. It would be okay if he showed up as the God of enough, but that's not how he shows up. He shows up as the God that is more than enough. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, my provider. The Lord sits to do, the Lord God, my righteousness. The battle that he has over me is love. Not I ain't going to do it because you don't deserve it. That's not the banner that's over me. The banner over me is love, the love that never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. The Lord is now my portion. Do you see that the word is a perfect present tense word? He didn't say the Lord will be my portion. He didn't even say the Lord might be my portion. He said the Lord is my portion, and that's the position of thought and the conversation of my heart. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, because I had this conversation. Come on, y'all. Come on. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, because I have this conversation, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, please back up and see what it's there for. When the Lord is your portion, when El Shaddai is your source, you see, God is not a resource. God is your source. Everything else is a resource. When the source is connected correctly, he will use anything else as a resource. When the source is flowing accurately, then your job becomes a connection to the source. Then the people don't know why you are prospering and getting advances. Well, you can't help it because it says that the Lord is going to give you the power to obtain wealth. Oh, see, whew, whew. He gives you the power. A lot of people are happy because they have the desire to obtain wealth. God didn't leave you in the realm of just having desire. He gave you the power to obtain wealth. Glory to God. See, when he's your portion, when he is your supply, then he can use everything else as a resource. See, that's why he says things to us. He says, I'm a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me. So when God is my supply, then he can use everything else as a resource. He will be able to show me that his desire for me was for me to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, that I'll be able to lend to many nations and not borrow. Why? Because God is my source. He can then orchestrate my resources, that he'll bless me and I will be a blessing. I will bless nations. Glory to God. All the, that's what he said. I'll bless all the families of the earth, because in thee shall all the blessings of nations of the earth be blessed. I inherit that promise that he made to Abraham. That I'm not just one trying to look for God to break me off. To look for God to break me off a piece. No, that's not the way God wants to do. God wants to make you the blessing. I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. He wants to make you the blessing. It's good to have a drink of water when you need it. It's better to have a pitcher of water that you can disperse from. Glory to God. You can bless everybody. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. He's interested in you being a blessing. Not just having a blessing, being one. Because the word is alive on the inside of you. And because the word is alive on the inside of you, you get to be. You can be a blessing. You can, come on, y'all, come on, talk. Woo! You can get out of the line and you can become the head of the line. See, when you're always looking for God to do something, then you haven't understood the fullness. He wants you to be a blessing. You're now the one, the line starts here, beloved. I'm going to be able to give to many nations and not borrow. See, I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 13. That's where he wants us to live. Unfortunately and ironically, we generally live in the verses from 14 to 68. Because blessings are supposed to come upon you, and they are supposed to overtake you. That all of the nations of the earth will see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. You'll be blessed coming in and blessed coming out. Whatever you put your hands to, it'll prosper. He will bless the work of your hands. He will open the heavens to give its treasure unto you in its season. Whew. I mean, this is what he has invited us into. This is what glory does. See, his glory is connected to every victory in your life. His mercy is connected to every victory in your life. Again, all of the fruit of the Spirit inclusive. It's connected to your victory. When you operate because the fruit of the Spirit has been cultivated in your life and it's easy to be seen. Let me say, if these things be in you and they abound, 2 Peter chapter 1. After you add to your faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance godliness, and the godliness, you add that. That becomes the you that exists. The you that lives. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. For an interest shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, you were called into this. This is the glory that he's wanting to display. Glory to God. That was all my preface. I try to get back to the word glory. The word glory in the original text is the word kabod. And it means honor, glorious abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, and reverence. glory has been given unto you. Honor, glorious abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, and reverence. When we look at that, as David looked at it, because David, and we have a lot of sightings of the word glory. In fact, the word glory appears in the Bible 402 times. The word glory appears 402 times. That tells me that God has a revelation of his glory for every single day of the year. The more I dig into this word glory, I find that it appears 53 times in the book of Psalms by itself. 53 times. That's almost twice a day, every day of the month. I mean, he's saying that he wants this glory to be in the center of your life, just like the Psalms are in the center of the Bible. It should be central. The focus that we live from, come on, it should be the focus that we live from. When a deposit is made, you live from the deposit that was made. Is that correct? You go and make withdrawals because of the deposit that was made. Well, God made a deposit of glory in your life from the beginning. Honor, glorious abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, and reverence. So then now it is your job, responsibility, to make withdrawals of the deposit of glory that's in your life. Amen. See, David kept bringing us to this point. The glory is unveiled for the things that you need. And in Psalms 8, he brings it out. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So you can see that the glory was connected to the name. So when I understand the glory, I will also be able to understand his name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who is set by glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mayest steal the enemy and the avenger. So he says, with this glory, he can shut up and stop stuff. You steal the enemy and the avenger. You stop him, shut him up in his tracks. David considered these things. And because he considered it, he saw that God put praise in the babes. All right, I'll do that. He said babes. That tells me that people that are unlearned still have the power of praise. A babe and a suckling. Okay, there's not much English conversation being had out of mouths of babes and sucklings. I mean, they do good to say mama. But because of a heart that is innocent, every word that they have is still a word of praise. And it's an interesting thing about innocence. Innocence, in its manifestation, does not make accusation against any. Innocence does not allow for that. Because innocence doesn't understand being wronged. You can tell a baby no, and all the baby does is learn that now is not the time for that. They don't come away with that as you being against them. They learn something completely different. They learn now is not the time for that. They don't leave a growing experience with the idea that mama is against me. The only one that's going to feed me or that supplies my need is mama, and I don't think mama's against me. I just think now is not the time for that. and then they come back whatever time is next, and they say, Mama, we need to, and Mama gives them what they need. But here we go, when we throw away innocence, then we bring in experience, and we try to live off of the experience instead of appreciating the innocence that he gave us from the beginning, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. I don't know, sometimes we've had prayers that we go sick them, God, get them, they getting on my nerves. See, a babe does not have that mindset in their prayer life. And because they don't, the enemy is stopped. The avenger is stilled. Think about that. See, if I forgive, I can take myself back to the place of innocence. Jesus said, forgive if you have aught against any. That takes me back to the place of innocence. But what do we say? Oh, I might forgive, but I ain't going to forget. So innocence has been removed, hasn't it? And as innocence has been removed, then you've taken the strength of being innocent and thrown it away. That's why love does not take an account of a wrong suffered. Love allows my heart to remain innocent. Because God's going to move and deal with your enemy and your avenger quickly because of innocence. See, forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you, for restoration, so that you can, again, be in the presence of God as one not making accusations. You do remember that the Bible says about the devil that he is the accuser of the brethren. Innocence is gone from him. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were in the state. Come on now, y'all know this. They were in the state of innocence. And then Adam went to judging his wife and declared these words, it's the woman that thou givest me, she the problem. See, innocence was removed from him. Accusation. And we've been playing the blame game ever since then. And God is asking us to go back to the place where he can do things for us because innocence is again in play. Amen. We can learn from Psalms 8 about his name, his glory, our praise, and then his strength, which always leads to our victory. See, he said he considered these things. He considered, what is man that you are mindful of him? How you be thinking of man? Why do you visit the Son of Man? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. Crowned him with it. This is what he should be thinking about. That's where a crown goes, doesn't it? It goes on your head. But we don't think about we were crowned with glory, and therefore we should let the glory of God settle it. I got this. I can sell it myself. I can make this work. They're going to do what I do. No. Let the glory settle it. Because God is looking. Okay. Why do you think he took the time to crown you with glory and honor if he didn't want you to answer every situation in your life with that glory and with that honor? Selah. He didn't want you to respond in the flesh, getting your pound of flesh. He wanted you to respond with what he crowned you with. Read, look at it. For thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thine hand. Do you see the connection of the dominion that God wants you to have in this earth and the glory and the honor that you are crowned with? Amen. So if you want things to work right, then understand the glory of the Lord. Oh, Lord, how, Lord, how excellent is your name. David considered this, and he noticed the transfer of power that happened. He said, dominion happens when I understand glory and honor. Because I was made to have this dominion. But if I don't participate accurately in the glory and the honor, dominion doesn't happen. Because I'm not displaying or understanding the excellent name that he gave me. Look at Psalms 3. God asks questions. And again, he's going to connect it to the glory and to the honor. See? So let's just see what he says here. Psalms 3, verse 1. Lord, how have they increased that trouble me? Wow. Did he say, Lord, there's a lot of people bugging me? The question that is asked right here is, how did it happen? Selah. I mean, when we talk to God, do we talk to God about the right questions? Do we just talk to him about, can you do something about these people that's bothering me? Or did we ask the question, how are they increased? Where did I disconnect, God? Where am I not understanding your glory, understanding your honor? How did this happen, Lord? And how do they rise that come up against me? Because there are many that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah means to pause and think about that. How did this happen where they were able to say there's no help for him in God? Could it be that you didn't know that the glory had departed? We're going to go to that in a minute. But thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my glory. You are the way that my head gets lifted up. If I'm not connected to your glory, my head does not get lifted up. I don't see things accurately. When my head is bowed down, I don't see the picture correctly, do I? When my head is bowed down, I have to now live from memory because I don't see the problem at all. I have experience now that becomes my teacher. But if I would let him lift up my head, he will give me an understanding of what to do with the problem that's in front of me. Not the one that's behind me in my memory, if you would. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, and the Lord sustained me. I mean, look at what he's understanding here. He said, there was trouble all around me, but I decided that since God is the lifter of my head, since God is my glory, I can lay down and sleep because it's going to be him that sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Why? Because God is going to save me. My God, you have smitten all of my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. He says, this is what I know. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon me. I am your people. So then the answer to whatever the challenge was would be to get back to the place where glory is what I think about. The deposit, going on to Psalms chapter 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Here comes an admonishment. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after lies, leasing? But know that the Lord has set apart him to him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call. Stand in awe. Sin not. Commune with your own hearts upon your bed. How did this happen, Lord? How are they increased? Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There might be that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the countenance of thy light upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than the times of alcohol, corn, and wine. I will lay me down and sleep in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. I mean, this person is beginning again to think about the glory and what he did wrong to allow the glory not to be working. It's not their fault. It's my fault. How long, oh men, sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you live or choose to live in dishonor of the glory that has been deposited by doing it your way? There is a way that seemeth right, but the end of that is destruction. I mean, the glory has already been deposited. When we disregard his glory, shame and doubts are the results. When I allow the glory to be the thing that moves me, it propels me and sustains me in the victory of the Lord. His glory should settle us, and it should prepare our path. Go to 16, Psalm 16. His glory should settle us and prepare our path. Preserve me, O Lord. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said to the Lord, thou art my goodness. Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows are multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings and blood I will not offer. I will not take up their names to my lips. Verse 5 is a repeat. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. The Lord is. He is my portion. Remember that over there in Lamentations 3? And of my cup, thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. And my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. What was the counsel that you gave me, Lord? I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore is my heart glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, his glory should be able to prepare my path. My inheritance is what's coming up. That's in my path. His glory causes me to rejoice. See? I mean, these are things that we've got to look at and follow and believe for. Turn to Psalms 21. So we're just going to see how David began to think about this over and over and over. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice! Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Thou preventest or hast prepared him with the blessing of goodness. Thou settest a ground of pure gold on his head. He asked thee life and thou gave it to him, even length of days forever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty thou hast laid upon him. This is again, he's reminding himself that he is the one that has been called to glory, called to honor, called to majesty. Kabod, honor, glorious abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, and reverence. Verse 6, thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusted in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Again, David is revisiting. What does this mercy do? What does it cause me to be able to understand? How does it engage me in his hope, in his will, in his word? Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Because mercy is engaged. Because glory has been engaged. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Notice what David also is doing. He's not taking it personal, because the Bible tells him that the reproaches that fell on me fell on Jesus. But if I think they stop with me, then I forget glory, because now I'm trying to make me the one, ain't I? That's pride, not glory. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, that a fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed among children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device that they were not able to perform. I mean, wow. This is a person that's under attack, going through, and his mindset is they only imagined a mischievous thing. They imagined an evil against me, but they can't execute it. Why? Because it is of the Lord's mercies I'm not consumed. Therefore, thou shalt make them turn back. When thou shalt have made thine arrows ready upon the strings against the face of them. Be exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. So shall we sing and praise thy power. See, this takes all the weight off of me and puts it back on God. It gives me the understanding that he who begun a good work, he's going to finish it. Turn to Psalms 24. Again, this is how David began to think. Very familiar scripture. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. I want you to know that God founded it and things were in motion, moving upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Seas that were operating in disarray. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands. I'm back to that innocence, Leona. He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. They seek thy face, O Lord, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Notice how we get the King to move in our behalf. It's through understanding that the glory that he's called me to, that he's put on the inside of me, that I'm supposed to operate out of a pure heart and out of clean hands. Not somebody that said, I'm going to get you, sucker. He's not sworn deceitfully. See, every response that God is looking for is a response that understands his glory, that understands his honor, that protects his name. See, when you do that, then God has the ability to move in your behalf because he sent thoughts towards you that are thoughts of peace, not of evil, that would give you an expected end, that will bring your enemies in subjection, that will steal the avenger. It's not a demand to get God to do what he already promised he wanted to do. When you do that, you turn his glory into shame. You seek after lying. You go about doing what you want to, putting his name on it. Oh, beloved, we've got to allow the glory of the Lord to answer. Again, we go back to what it says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, your everlasting arms. And the King of glory shall, didn't say might, said he shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, who's mighty in battle. The Lord who's never lost a battle. He has a track record of whatever and zero. But here we are, turning his glory into shame, swearing deceitfully, not understanding that the deposit is supposed to release the return that he expected from our lives. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. The answers to every situation in your life is the glory of the Lord. Learn how to walk in that glory. Learn how to flow in that glory and see the salvation of the Lord God with you. Father, we just thank you and we bless you. Thank you for your word, sir, that you sent to us to heal us and deliver us. Thank you for a word that encourages us and gives us understanding of how to walk with the glory of the Lord in front of us. How to follow the glory because the glory leads to victory. How to follow the peace because the peace leads to victory. How to follow the joy because the joy leads to victory. Thank you, sir, that we are understanding your goodness. We are understanding your mercy because it is of the mercy of the Lord that we are not consumed because your faithfulness is every day available for us with new mercies. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for growing us up and causing us to display your glory correctly day by day. We commit that done as done right now in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, amen. It's going to, I'm going to now go to the portion for any questions or comments about the ministry tonight. So I'm going to give the microphone over to area code 404-547-8086. Area code 404-547-8086. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry today? Area code 404.
I enjoyed the word, but I don't. 574. I don't have any questions.
Okay, and again, we just thank you for being on the ministry and allowing us to impart into your life truths that could transform and allow you to win every time, all of the time. Amen. Amen. Area code 404-453-2953. Area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? Go ahead. You have the mic. Amen. Amen. You're kind of breaking up there. So we'll just go to area code 678-237-8519. 678-237-8519. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight?
I just wanted to say Amen. Thank you for the word tonight. It was really good, and it brought confirmation to the fact that although COVID-19 has come, this is a time for the saints to really be growing and glowing and just excelling beyond measure. So I just thank you for that word because it was confirmation for moving forward.
Amen. 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 As God is our source, He's expecting us to be able to release what's on the inside of us, the deposit on the inside of us, because they're looking for answers, and you have the answer living inside of you. You know, it's just
Amen.
One of those things. Yes, I can't, you know, I can't speak to the why to a thing. I'm not going to ever try to, because when I get to heaven, mm-hmm. if I have any questions, I can ask God. But I can live in the testimony of Jesus. And we looked at this yesterday. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So since he's there, you can prophesy your future. It doesn't have to be doom and gloom because of the 19. It could be
Amen.
Glory and honor because of the one. Amen. So again, thank
Amen.
You for being a part of the ministry tonight. We're going to go to area code 470-418-1818. If you have any questions or comments, you have the mic. Area code 470-418-1818. You have the mic. Amen. Amen. Again, I thank everybody for being there. Area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic.
Hello?
678-46. Yes, you have the mic. Go ahead.
Blessed ministry tonight, man. As usual. Powerful. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us.
Amen. Yeah, I promise you. Thank you. The blessing is always twofold, because most of the time I have an idea of what I'm going to start, but I have no idea where it's going to end. And the ministry encouraged me, because I look at the glory of God truly as an answer. So rather than go to the flesh, go to fear, go to frustration, I can simply go to the word. And when I go there, I'm going to have life. That's what Jesus said. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So I'm just glad to be able to impart into the people that would hear today and by recording in the days to come, the ministry that that can take us from take us from being victimized to being victorious. Okay, that's all God wants us to do. He wants to display us because of what He put in us. So again, you can go to the website and you can like and you can subscribe, you can like and you can share, so that you can just give people a place where every Monday we can come and we can share. And I love this this the way that this is set up, because you see, I'm not the one that's right. I'm the one that's hearing what's right, and I simply exchange it and give it to you all, so that your lives can be empowered and then blessed out of that power. That's what we're here for. So if there's been a blessing to you and you want to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com. You can go to the website and you could be a blessing, because if you have received of the spiritual, then you should of necessity give of that which is your carnal, that which you have worked for, because that's how we stay on the air. We believe God to move on the hearts of people that hear a word that touches them right where they are and empowers them so that they can know that when they give, they're giving to the Lord himself that met their need and wants to meet the needs of others. So again, I just thank you for being on the call tonight. We will not be on next Monday because that is a holiday celebration, and the radio station generally takes off on those days. So the next time we'll be back together again will be the 31st of May. So until then, may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord make his countenance, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord show himself strong in your life, in every area of your life, because of the grace that he's called you into. Shalom.